You can turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And this is our text for this evening, our main text here. I'm thankful to God for this opportunity that I can have this chance to bring you a part of His Word. And what we're doing tonight is continuing a series that was kind of begun a few months ago. The idea of a new start, a new school year, getting that new backpack, that idea. So in those lessons over the previous few months, we've talked about this idea of starting new in Christ. We become this new person. We get rid of that old baggage, and which gives us then the strength and freedom to make changes and have this fresh start. We put to death the old man, and we put on the new. So really tonight's lesson is just continuing on with that series. And I have something to tell you that might come as a surprise to some of you, but this evening I need to share with you, as I was getting this lesson ready, I have a new command from the Lord to tell you all. And I'm getting some interesting faces around the room, but I do. It's a new instruction, and it's straight from God, and I hope you're curious now, right? You've never heard this before. It's brand new, and it's fresh, and it's life-changing, this new instruction that I have to share with you. And this new commandment that I have to tell you is I want you to love one another. Now, you might be thinking, JD, I've definitely heard that before. In fact, just about every time I open up the New Testament, I see this idea that we need to love each other. That's all over. Well, that little gimmick I just tried to pull off the past few seconds is a kind of the way that John talks in John, 1 John chapter 2. And that's what I want you to see, that this is exactly what John is trying to say when he talks to the brethren in this way. Let's read these verses together. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. It says, "Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brothers in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Did you notice this? He says in verse 7, it's an old command, it's not a new command. And then in verse 8, he says, actually, it is a new command that I'm giving to you. So to paraphrase verse 7, where he says, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old command you've had from the beginning, it's like, look, I'm about to tell you something, and when you became Christians, back when you heard about Jesus and decided to follow Jesus and wanted to live your life like Jesus, you heard this command. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before, the same old commandment. But then in verse 8, he says, you know, really, though, it is something that's new. He says, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And he says these three statements here that we'll look at in a minute. He says, it's true in God as it's true in you. Well, what does that mean? The darkness is passing away. This true light is already shining. What is John getting at when he says, I'm giving you this new commandment? Well, at this point, if you're reading verse 8, he still hasn't even explained what this new old commandment is. And really what he does is he just jumps right into talking about the application of it. He says in verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in dark, as it continues there. What we're going to find out is that he's getting back to the great commandment from the Lord that you need to love one another. The Old Testament framing of this is love your neighbor as yourself. So then he starts kind of getting into it. If you think you're in the light, you hate your brother, you're still in darkness, you have to love your brother to be in the light. And so that's what he goes into, his application. If you're curious, well, wait a second, is that really what he's talking about? Because he doesn't really explain it here. It does get fully explained when John says such similar things here in 2 John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one you've had from the beginning, that we love one another." So that's the command. And John keeps talking about it. That's the old command you've had, but I'm asking you to do it now. Or there's something new about this command today. This is just the New Testament teaching on, you know, what our call is as Christians. This command. Jesus says it this way in terms of what are the greatest commands. Matthew 22, verse 37 and following. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. And we've talked about this before. There's something about this. When Jesus is asked, what's the first and greatest commandment? He feels a need to supply two. And he says, the first is love the Lord your God. Well, of course it is. You have to love God. But he says, but the second is like unto it. There's something about this, that the way that we really love God is through loving our neighbor. And that is what the whole law hangs on or depends on. When John is writing the Gospel of John, Jesus says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you are also to love one another. And here there is a newness to it, because it's not just love one another, love your neighbor. They've been hearing that from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, ever since they were children. No, now he says, love one another as I have loved you. Now that is taking it to a new level, to love as Jesus has loved them. So that is then this call. So when he says here in 1 John 2, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother, you're still in darkness. You can't think you're a Christian if you don't love your brother. If you don't love your brother, you're not in Christ. If you don't love your brother, you're not in the light. If you want to be found in Christ, you have to be loving your brother. And the Bible just says this over and over again. It doesn't matter if you're a churchgoer. It doesn't matter if you sit here in a pew three times a week and you go to Bible classes and you pray. If you don't love your brother, you're not in the light. You're not in Christ. It's very straightforward, and that's the call for Christians. If you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're still in the darkness. You don't get it yet. If you love your brother, you're in the light. Now, there's a sense in which that's one piece of it, right? I mean, you can't love your brother and be living in sin in other ways. But at the same time, I think when we understand what it really means to love God, really means to be in the love of God, that's very inclusive, because he's going to say things like, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we love our brother. And so we see this full package that were given to us in righteousness and in love. And when we love, and I see that I need to love to walk in the light, I need to love to be like Christ and be like God, and that's proof that we really get it. That we get it spiritually, that what Christ came to do was to teach us this new way of life in holiness and righteousness and sacrifice and love. And so if we don't walk in love, we don't get it. Like the Corinthians who didn't get it. They're messing up the Lord's Supper by being selfish. How in the world can we be selfish in the one reminder a week of the selflessness of God and the love of God? They didn't get it. They needed to learn to get it. Are there ways that we don't get it yet? That this is what it means to walk in Christ, is to walk in love. So love, as the New Testament shows us over and over again, is the greatest virtue in Christ. And I just don't think we can remind ourselves too much of how important this is. Remind ourselves too much of the supremacy of love in the Christian life. Just how much this is highlighted. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And you think, really? Love is more important than faith? Paul says, you know, we're justified by faith. Romans 1, that the gospel beginning and ending in faith. How can love be greater than faith? Here's why. Because we can believe in Jesus, but if we haven't had our heart transformed to love like Jesus, we don't get it yet. It's not enough to believe and even entrust ourselves. We need to be transformed to love one another, Jesus said, as I have loved you. This was our scripture reading this evening. Oh, no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the whole law. You want to know what the law says? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a fulfillment of everything God was pointing towards in the law of Moses and what he gave to the Israelite people. You have a statement here, like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again. When you gave your life to Christ and you died with him in baptism, we were raised with him in baptism to walk in this new life, and now I'm pure and holy with a good heart. It says you did that to enter into this world, this realm of love for your brethren. You've purified your soul in obedience to the truth, unto this sincere brotherly love. So then do it. Love one another sincerely, earnestly, not hypocritically, but in reality, from this pure heart in Christ, because you've been born again. That's what this new life should look like, is this new life of love. And then not just that, we have this repeated New Testament idea that we need to be growing in this, not just to love, but to keep growing in it. It's kind of the idea of wherever you're at, do more. You can take that next step. Take that next step. Don't stay where you're at. However much you love currently today, do more. Keep on loving more. A couple of verses that just overtly say this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Wherever you're at, may it abound. It's already abounding. Great. Great that it's abounding. Abound more and more. It's just the popcorn bowl just overflowing and filling up, and just more and more and more of it. Keep abounding more and more in love. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, new Christians writing to these Gentiles who have been converted, and he gets to the section of the letter where he's reminding them about brotherly love, and he says, now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. So they're loving. They're doing good things. They're growing this relationship with these other new Christians there in Macedonia. He says, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Wherever the Thessalonians were at in the maturity and level of love, grow more. Abound more and more. That is the idea. Okay, back to 1 John chapter 2. He says, it's not a new command. It's an old command. You heard this from the beginning. But then he says in verse 8, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So here's what we want to do in this lesson. What is it that John is getting at, where he can say, I'm giving you this new commandment today. Listen up. It's a new commandment. Love one another. Well, what is John getting at with that? Well, he says here it's true in God and in you. So what does that mean? I think what we see that John is trying to say is this light of righteousness, this light of love that God has and has demonstrated in Christ. God has that. And so this true light of love, God's true nature, the full revelation of the glory of God, that God shines into this world through Jesus. God has that. And you have that. It started in you. When Jesus came, it was like light shining in the darkness. That's John chapter 1. And so this true light is in God, and this true light's in you already. It's not new to you. You've already had this. So this true light has begun in your life and in your heart. Christ came to bring the full revelation of God. He brought the true light of God, and that true light is love. That true light is righteousness. So this God-likeness, this imitating God, this being filled with his light, that started in them already. He says the darkness is passing away, and this true light has already begun to shine. I think the true light there started with Christ in his ministry. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and that's the light of Christ shining among them. And so this darkness is passing away, which means the darkness is fading, and it's getting brighter and brighter in the light of the righteousness and love of God. I think what we're supposed to picture here is the growing light of dawn. So maybe you've had this experience, maybe recently, where you've gotten up and you're awake, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, and you get to experience that start of a new day, where you start to get just a little bit of hint of growing of color on the horizon, and then it's getting brighter with some more color, and slowly that darkness is fading, and then, it's a while. You start to see the light quite a bit before you even see the orb of the sun, and then, of course, the day just gets brighter and brighter to where when that sun is out. It's gone from total darkness now to light. Picturing that, the growing light of dawn, where it's getting lighter, it's brighter, the darkness is fading away. When it means darkness is fading away and disappearing, that means that light is coming. You know, darkness doesn't get replaced with darkness. If the darkness is fading, it's because more and more light is filling the world. And so in Christ, it's this picture of each day more and more full of the light of God. That I'm full with light in a new way today, more than the day before. That today, as God's light is shining in me and it's getting brighter, as the sun is coming up and every day in my life, it's that I'm more and more filled with God, more and more filled with light. I'm more Christ-like. More and more of His light is shining in me. I'm more full of God. I know Him better. I know His ways better. And that darkness of sin, the darkness of selfishness, is being removed more and more every day. It's like every day, I'm just growing brighter and brighter. Every day, the darkness is receding more and more as I am transformed into the glory of the image of Christ. I think that's our picture here when he says the darkness is passing away and the true light is shining. And so really ultimately what we need to see is that love is this new, fresh command every day. I think that's John's point. That I'm writing you a new commandment, and the commandment is love. And the commandment of love is new and fresh in Christ every day. So I want us to think about some applications of what this means. That love is a new command for us every day. Here's the points that we'll make in the rest of the lesson. Number one, we should love like we've never loved before, every day. Number two, that when we really love someone, the past is not sufficient. And number three, that love calls me to take up my cross daily, take up my cross every day to love and serve others. So point number one is, love like you've never loved before. I put that in quotes because that feels like a thing that people say, right? Do this like you've never done it before. And so picture that day, you know, you're waking up with the sunrise, the birds are singing, you've got a nice cup of coffee in your hand, you know, pastries are baking not too far distant behind you. And so you're waking up, and you felt that, right? A new, beautiful day is before me, like a blank canvas, right? What we need to see is, in Christ, that this is a new, exciting day to love others and to do the work of God that He has set before me. It's a new commandment for me today, new today. Because, you know, we only have today. We don't have yesterday. That's gone. We don't have tomorrow. Those things will take care of itself. The only day I have is right now, is the day that I've been gifted with. So I need to love and serve today. That's the only day I'm ever going to get. So today is the only day I have to love God with all my heart and to love my neighbor as myself. I can't do that tomorrow. It's today. It's the now when I'm called into this newness of love. In hope and in joy, today we serve others like we never have before. New opportunities, new vistas lie before me to do God's work, to serve and to love like Jesus did. In hope and joy, in potential, in seeking to do God's will. So what that means is that today needs to be better than yesterday. As I'm thinking about my new day, this new fresh start, yesterday what doesn't suffice. Today, I've got to do better than I did before. To love like I've never loved before. I heard yesterday Henry saying this. He said, I don't even know where he got this from, because I was working my sermon, and then on our way to soccer, he said, today I'm going to play soccer like I've never played before. Like, were you reading my sermon notes? And I was like, that's the exact idea. So when Henry was saying that to himself, what did he mean by that? Why is that a motivational thing? Because it's like, now's my chance. This is it. Here's my shot. And he felt that. He gets that. And so in life, with my morning cup of coffee, if you will, it's like I'm hearing this commandment of Jesus to love one another. It's like I'm hearing it new and fresh for the first time. That's what I'm called to do every day in Christ, just to love like I've never loved before. Have you ever heard of couples who renew their marriage vows I don't mean like remind each other of their marriage vows. That might be needed at times too. But no, I'm talking about like they take a moment at their 10-year anniversary or their 20-year anniversary, and they renew that. Like they maybe have a little ceremony even where they stand there. The lady has flowers. There's a preacher. And they say their marriage vows again. Maybe some of you have actually done that. I got to kind of witness one last summer with a couple who've been married 25, 30 years. And it's kind of like they're going through the marriage ceremony again. And you're like, what's the point? What's the point of getting married again? You know, it's the same vows. You're still in that same marriage. Nothing changed from yesterday till today. Why do people do that? They do that because there's power in seeing the relationship renewed. And the word we would use would be rededicated. That's a powerful thing. Say, yeah, I know we got married 30 years ago, but I want you to know I'm rededicating myself to that again. This is fresh for me. And yes, we've had 30 years, but this is still new and important, valuable, and my dedication is there. It's like it's freshly starting again. See how these things kind of work together? To love like you've never loved before. What's really interesting about that is that these kind of things happen in the Old Testament. We talked about this in the Joshua class last quarter. When Moses in Deuteronomy 5 is preaching his kind of sermon to Israel before he dies, he says to them in Deuteronomy 5 verse 2, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb." This was 40 years before. And remember, everyone 20 years and older died in the wilderness, except for, you know, Moses at this point, Joshua and Caleb. If you're 20 years and older, you're dead in the wilderness. Moses says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today." And yes, there's people hearing these words of Moses. There's people hearing these words who heard them at 19, at 18, at 17, who are still alive because 20 years was the cutoff. That's not the point. The point is there's people there who were born in the wilderness and now they're 25, they're 37, whatever. They weren't there at Mount Sinai. And Moses is saying, don't think of this as something that happened to us, right? Our people, our fathers and grandfathers. No, no, no. This didn't happen to us. This happened to you. The Lord made a covenant with you. Don't think of this as something he did to your fathers, but to you. We, who all of us are here alive today, it's personal. Hear it, but like God made it with you. And it kind of renews the covenant idea. And then Moses goes on to speak the law again. And then something very similar happens then, really just a few months down the road, when Joshua gets into the land. He does what Moses said to do. They get there between Ebal and Gerizim, and they read the law. Describes it here, "And there in the presence of the people of Israel, he," Joshua, "wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he'd written." They make this altar. And then literally on the stones, he writes out the law. They're watching this. They're all there on both sides. And then he reads the law. And it doesn't call it a covenant renewal ceremony, but that's what it is. And in fact, my Bible has the heading, "Joshua renews the covenant with the people of Israel." That's what it is. They come together. And it's like a marriage renewal thing, except it's the law renewal. And we're rededicating, renewing this again today. Why does God have his people do that? Because that's powerful to see it renewed again. Today, rededicate yourself to this. Point number two is that when you really love someone, the past isn't sufficient. We could tie this in with what we've said already. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if you've been serving God in the wilderness for the past 38 years. Now, you need to rededicate yourself to keep doing it. Don't think the past is sufficient. Today, I still got to keep doing these things. I need to pick up that ball and keep carrying it. Here's the way love works, is when you love someone, you desire a greater and better relationship. You're working to be a better friend, a better parent or child, a better husband or wife. The past is not sufficient. However many years you've been married, you say, great, this was a blessing. Now today, I got to keep doing this better and be a better friend, be a better husband, be a better father. You see ways you could be better. You see ways you can improve. Like, oh, I really could have been a better friend to my friend the other day. I can do better than that. Next time, if I have opportunity, God willing, I'll be that better friend. It doesn't matter how good a friendship we've had. I'm still trying to improve myself and to really do what I should in that relationship. Now, can you imagine someone ever saying to themselves these kinds of things? You know, I'm pretty content with the ways that sin and selfishness contaminate my relationships. Should someone ever say that to themselves? Obviously, we wouldn't. We wouldn't literally say those words to ourselves. The point is, we shouldn't. We can't be content with the ways that sin and selfishness contaminate my relationships. As the light is shining more and more, and Christ is shining more in me, the whole point is that darkness recedes. That darkness fades away, and the light of Christ takes over more and more of my life. Would you ever say to yourself, I should be a better friend than that, but hey, he's not exactly a perfect friend either. Not a good thing to say. Or how about this? I was probably shooting a little too high with those marriage vows. You know, I should have set a lower standard for this thing. Is that a good idea? Not a good idea. I hope we're not saying those kinds of things. Because what we realize is in love, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to grow. And the past is not sufficient. I pick up that ball and keep carrying it. The friendship that we've had so far isn't enough. It's really just the nature of love. It's unavoidable. I have to keep still loving someone and doing loving things to claim that I love them. You know, say, if I said, you know, I loved my wife the first 5 years, but now I don't, you know, it's like I loved past tense, but that stopped. For me to keep saying I love her, that means it keeps going, even to this day. I can't be unloving towards you today and think I still love you. No, I have to keep doing those things, or else I say, well, I used to do those things. Love, by its very nature, requires me to continue doing it, or else it stopped. And that's what the Bible is calling us towards. And what we realize as we look at our own lives is, you can see, man, I've sure fallen into some patterns of selfishness. You know, I didn't even realize it. But I've started treating this person poorly, or I've started taking advantage of this person. And it's just easy to do that. To fall into patterns, fall into habits that are bad, and realize, I've got to stop that. I got to be a better friend, be a better husband, be a better dad, be a better child. It could be that we fall into those things because that's what was patterned for us. When we've been used by people, it's very easy when we're not thinking about it, we start using other people. It's not good, but without even thinking, we can fall into those things that we were taught ourselves. We got to not do that. If we were unloved, we may struggle to love others. That's what was given to us, maybe a selfish kind of love. It wasn't a true love that the parents should have for a kid. Well, maybe you pick that up from them. So we grow out of that. God helps us to grow out of that. We learn to be more and more Christ-like in these ways. So we work to have better relationships untainted by selfishness and sin. That light of Christ would grow in me every day to love as Jesus calls me to love. I love this thought that I owe you love. That to the people in this room, that I owe love to people. That's our scripture reading again. Owe no one anything except to love one another. What does he mean by that? Well, when you owe someone, you're in debt, right? Now, sometimes we would think of debt as being like money. Like, I owe you $100. Or if it's the Haubs, I probably still owe you for the chicken eggs that I keep forgetting to pay them for. And that kind of thing, right? I owe you this much money. What does he say here? I owe you love. I'm indebted to you. No, it's not with money. I hope, you know, there's not some financial thing going on there. What he's telling the Roman Christians is, I have this debt. I have a debt to you. I owe you love. I'll never even be able to fully pay it. Till the day I die, I still owe you more. There's still more of me that God calls me to give and to love and to grow. And it's this life of looking to others. How can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? That's what I owe you. I owe that to every brother and sister in this congregation. And then a sense in which, I owe that to every Christian. And ultimately, a sense in which I owe that to every human, whether they're Christian or not, to give the love of God to others. We seek to grow in our love for all the brethren. So 2 Peter chapter 1 has this list of these Christian virtues, these Christian attributes. You probably remember it. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. If you have faith, good. Add to faith virtue. And add to virtue knowledge. And add to knowledge self-control. And add to self-control steadfastness. Add to steadfastness godliness. And add to that brotherly affection. And add to that love. And, you know, keep adding, keep abounding in these things. And at the end of that list, no surprise, culminates in love. Right before that is this brotherly affection. And this gets at what we've talked about before. My love for the brethren can't be this obligatory, well, I technically have to love you, so I'll do this thing for you. I don't like you, I don't want to like you, but I'm going to do it because I have to. That's not love. We grow in brotherly affection. Now, does that come immediately? No. There's some people that we might find harder to take or not. That's okay. We grow in love to appreciate and value one another. So I grow in that brotherly, family, brother and sister affection. And then I add on top of that this Christ-like, selfless love. Not instead of brotherly affection, on top of brotherly affection, with the godly principles that we see in this list, seeking to grow in love for all of the brethren. So a loving heart means I'm desiring to grow in all my relationships. Can you imagine, you know, if someone reached out to you and said, hey, let's grab coffee sometime. You said, nah, I'm fine with our brotherhood relationship just as it is. You know, I see you more of a talk to you on Sunday morning a couple times a month kind of friend, not like a grab coffee kind of friend. Would you say that? Would we feel that? I understand that logistics keep us from developing every relationship in this room. We can't be best friends with 200 people. Primarily, if we have family, our obligation is to do that. I can't hang out with my guy friends as much as I hang out with my children. That's just a priority I have. And so you see how that's going to work. But do I have a heart that is wanting to know people better and wanting to be encouraging and getting to know and to help and to love? That's the kind of heart I have. Great, let's grab coffee. I'm sorry that this month is crazy, so let's put it on the calendar for whatever. That's the kind of heart I have in Christ for the brethren. And finally, love calls me to take up my cross daily. Take up my cross daily for others. This idea of new every day, new every morning. When Luke puts the statement in Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See this daily thing that we keep coming back to? And so practically, love calls me new. Love calls me new every morning in this life that I'm about to live for the day to empty my heart of selfishness, to get rid of the selfishness in my heart, do what I can to be a blessing to others, and to care more about others, to take up my cross, to lay down my life, and to do what Jesus wants me to do in serving and loving and helping others this day. That's what love has to call me to do. And so, brothers and sisters, I have a new command for you. It's brand new. It's fresh. It's life-changing, this new command. And you've never heard it before. It's new. It's a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and already that true light is shining. I hope we understand John's point maybe a little better tonight, that love is not an old command. It's a fresh new command for today. That's our call for love in Christ. Is the light of God shining in you more and more every day? Do you feel like I'm reading my Bible more, praying more, I'm getting to know God more, I'm really growing as a Christian? Is God's light shining more and more in your heart every day? And if it is, what that means is that you're going to be growing in love. To grow in godliness is to grow in love and in selflessness, that the darkness of sin is passing away in your life. Remember Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. This is our invitation verse. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's the idea. The mercies of God, the love of God, His faithfulness is new every morning. There's not going to be a sunrise that comes up where God's faithfulness has stopped. No, the true light is shining already. And so that's our call to live that out as Christians today. So can we help you? Can we encourage you? We want to. And when you see sin or selfishness in our lives, forgive us of that. I hope we're trying our very best to get that out of our lives so that we can bless each other, please the Lord, blameless before Him, and encouraging each other in spiritual things. We want to do that. Let us know if we can help. Maybe even now, we'll stand and sing a song of invitation.